Welcome to the Power Play Podcast, where international cricketer Kyron Powell and marketing genius Jordan Shannon join forces, bringing you captivating conversations with the biggest players in cricket and business. Join us as we dive into the lives of current stars in the cricketing world, the legends before them, and those extraordinary icons whose performances changed the game in both cricket and business. Exploring journeys both on and off the pitch, the boardroom, and everything in between. Get ready for an exhilarating blend of cricket, life, and business insights with two insatiably passionate, infuriatingly no-holds-barred hosts, who, unfortunately for the rest of us, live and breathe this stuff for a living.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 24 of the Power Play Podcast. I'm Jordan Shannon, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyron Powell. How are you, Kai?
I'm good, Jordan. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed last week's pod in terms of going over and looking at the world, you know, the World Cup, the T20 side of things from India. So we're going to go over and I'm going to pick my England team or the England squad, which would be quite interesting. But obviously, first and foremost, I wanted to touch on last week and a tough game against Barbados.
Yeah, I think that we messed it up there. Obviously, Barbados batted for quite some time.
Yeah,
in their first innings, we lost something. I think to the likes of 6 wickets for 60 runs in the first innings, and then 9 wickets for like 110 runs in the second innings. So, you know, whilst you don't want to have collapses, you definitely don't expect to have things like that happening in two innings throughout the course of a game. I think we really let ourselves down as a batting unit, because the pitch was still a good pitch to bat on right to the very end. And I don't think that we should have been bowled out in that second innings. You know, I think that we should have found a way to sort of battle for a draw and obviously still maintain the lead in terms of the tournament table toppers. Because we'd have had an additional 6 points or something, if I'm not mistaken. And then, you know, it's just fine intricacies in the game where I think that we fell down, because even in the first innings, we needed 13 more runs to get an additional batting point. You know, so that's an extra 7 runs. And, you know, obviously it's coming down to fine margin. So it's just, it's small things like that that you look back on and you really grit your teeth at. Yeah. But can't crow about spilt milk at this point in time. You know, we sort of have to move forward and try and learn from those mistakes and take it into the game starting tomorrow, and hopefully we can come out victorious and have a few things, I mean, go in our favor at this point, because we'll need a few things to go in our favor now. But hopefully we can handle what we need to handle and then let the chips fall where they may when the dust settles.
Yeah, I suppose the saving grace in terms of, you know, bouncing back is it's a short break. You know, you go again straight away tomorrow. You know, in previous weeks, you've had, you know, a bit of a fortnight or a bit of time away, but at least you can go again straight away and hopefully sort of rewrite a few of those wrongs. But I think like some of the pods that I've picked, you know, I know that they obviously had a really strong opening partnership and you showed, you know, you got back into the game, and then obviously Roston, you know, batted superbly and sort of really sort of took the game away. But like you said, I think it was that second innings where the pitch looked to, you know, still be really quite in the favour of the batter. And, you know, unfortunately, it just didn't seem to work out where you could grind it out for a draw potentially.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, I think we're sort of 98 for one in both innings and sort of like 180, 190 for two in both innings, you know, and then had major collapses. So not taking anything away from what Barbados managed to do in terms of achieving victory, but I just don't think that there should have been an outright victory in that game, given, I mean, the amount of time that they took to get their runs in the first innings, sort of basically taking up almost the greater part of 2 days of the game.
Yeah, 105.
I think that there was surely enough in us to battle out the game, but as as the saying goes, cricket is a game of glorious uncertainty, then, you know, whilst I would have thought that we had things covered, clearly we didn't. So pick ourselves up and get ready to battle again starting tomorrow.
Yeah, and what was it like to get a few overs under your belt? I say a couple.
I was not pleased about it in the slightest bit. I've been trying to retire my bowling for quite some time now. But when you're fielding for 140-something overs, you tend to go through every option on the field. You tend to exhaust every option possible. So happy to do what the team needed. Obviously, just rotating through different options and seeing where we can get a breakthrough. So.
Yeah, hopefully.
Roll my arms over and hopefully I'm not needed at all ever again.
But, you know, like I think you touched on it before, the table's close, it's tight, you know, and those margins over, you know, in this next game are going to be really, really important. Are you playing at the same ground again tomorrow?
Yep.
So you're expecting something quite similar wicket wise?
Most likely. I mean, in all reality, it probably is going to be. It's the nature of the square isn't going to change drastically from one pitch to another.
No.
And when you think about preparation time that they would have had for the game, they only had like sort of 3 days in between both games. And you take into consideration the heat that is currently happening in Trinidad and Tobago, like it's very, very hot. I don't expect anything else but for it to sort of play out to be quite a good batting track. And so it will come down to one team batting big again, and probably another team trying to keep themselves in the hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fingers crossed everything goes well tomorrow. And you know, you can keep, you know, personally as well, you can keep your rich vein of form going. You didn't manage to uphold Emma's word with a century this time on returning, but hopefully tomorrow it'll be a nice opportunity to go and do that.
Well, season's not over yet, so I'm still on return.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's true.
Just not directly on return.
Yeah, true.
But no, I think I wasn't too pleased with my first innings decision, to be fair.
Right, okay.
And the second innings, I think that I played an absolutely atrocious shot, because looking at the situation, Barbados sending us back into bat, myself being on 50, whatever it was, last over of the day's play, and tried to steer a ball down to third man and getting a caught at slip, I should have been able to just fall into a hole that I couldn't get out of, knowing that there would be absolutely tired bodies coming onto that field the following day, having been in the field already for 120 overs. So, and it's just staying on top of things like that and maximizing on those opportunities. Very disappointed.
Do you just put that down to a little bit? Do you think about stuff like that in terms of getting out in that way, or do you just you know, is it just a case of a lapse of concentration sort of thing?
No, it was just. For a few of us, I was running balls down to third man before that, but obviously it was a new bowler as well, and it was completely unnecessary because it's the last over of the day. So
yeah, you don't
an extra run in that fashion is not going to benefit me greatly. You know, it's only going to pose a risk, which ultimately ended up being my downfall. So it wasn't the best shot selection there for me.
No, I get that. Before we sort of go on to the England sort of selection for the World Cup that we just discussed, I wanted to get your opinion as the ongoing IPL and someone in particular, sort of Shamar Joseph. Obviously, he really became a star, you know, for the West Indies, but also in terms of like, you know, being picked up in the drafts and stuff. He's, you know, he's only played one IPL game so far, which was not yesterday, the day before, you know, and off the back of, you know, really doing fantastically well in Australia, although I do understand he picked up an injury in that last game. How does a bowler in particular really like get this balance of trying to play cricket, but also like, you know, taking opportunities from a franchise perspective, it does sometimes, like, does the opportunity to go in the IPL, sorry, to go and play in the IPL come a bit too soon for somebody's development, do you think?
I don't think so. I think that can only enhance him as a cricketer and as a person, because obviously the IPL is the toughest competition going around apart from playing in cricket World Cups. And he gets to, I guess, mix and mingle, learn from the best players across the world. So someone that had an extremely great start to not only professional cricket, but international cricket. But I think what people have to take into consideration as well is that this guy is probably, he's not 10 first-class games into his career, including his test career. So to have any expectations of him, much less lofty expectations, would be wild. You know, he still has a lot of growing to do, a lot of distance to cover in terms of having good days, bad days. He doesn't know how to put things together consistently yet, nor should he. I mean, he's just, as I said, very early into his career. So people just have to, I guess, be patient with him, not have too much expectations with him, not put too much pressure on him, and just let him play, let him make his mistakes, let him learn. And over time, I mean, the natural talent, the raw ability is something that's been on display for the world. So you know it's this. It's just for him to have an opportunity to be molded into, hopefully, what would be for the West Indies a world-class talent.
Yeah, no, it's a fair comment, and that's why I wanted to sort of get your opinion on it, because, you know, I think that, you know, it's fantastic. You know, we spoke about it in the podcast probably at the back end of, well, it would have been January sort of time, and about the opportunity for him to get picked up and, you know, what one, you know, two or three games or four games in a series can really sort of springboard your career. But I wanted to get your opinion in terms of game time. But from my perspective, what crossed my mind a little bit is obviously the environment and who he'll be sharing a changing room with as well. You know, so yeah, ultimately might not be getting overs under his belt or game time. But I think from a, you know, from an environment perspective and who you're spending time with and who you're sharing a changing room with, will probably have these real impacts of, you know, from a professionalism side of things, how they go about stuff. And then, you know, and even if he isn't, as a, you know, obviously not knowing him, whether he, how he is personality wise, you know, I can imagine that someone of that age and of that sort of mold, you know, will all be ears and just want to be listening to people and understanding things. And, you know, it'll hopefully benefit him down the line once he gets that game time and once he, you know, when the opportunity do come.
Exactly, because this is someone that's just probably 1 year into his professional career. So
yeah,
I think he takes, and he should do, take everything with a grain of salt, obviously understanding that there'll be good days, there'll be bad days, but just keep pushing ahead and be patient. The most important thing is that himself and people around him be patient with him and understand that it's a learning and a growing process.
Yeah, no, definitely. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully the opportunities come and it'll be a benefit for West Indies cricket as well. So after last week's debate, I won't say it was a debate, it was a good chat about the India squad and the India team and you know, the strength and depth that they have, because we wasn't scratching around to find 15 or even an 11. The quality they've got in numbers is massive. But, you know, I think we'll have a chat now about England and, you know where they go. Couple of big things, obviously the in the news that broke a couple of weeks ago in terms of obviously Ben Stokes not going to be going to, you know, not going to be travelling, which in my opinion is a good thing for English cricket as a overall. And I think the reason why I say that is, absolutely, I would want him in the 11, but I think for me, as an England overall, they've got an eye on 2025, which is India coming to us, and then us going to Australia for the Ashes. So I'd like to think that there's a bit of thought process in the situation and thinking of obviously looking after Ben Stokes and making sure that he's at his peak physical condition as an all rounder. So in terms of him missing out on the World Cup, yeah, it's a shame, but I'm hoping that the thought process is around, you know, Test cricket and, you know, the two big series and, well, the summer that's ahead of us and also the big series is in 2025. And I've just watched Joss Butler single-handedly win a game, you know, all of 50 minutes ago, and I, you know, that is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable what he's just done there. So
it's great to see him back in form. I mean, that's something that obviously English fans will be happy about and world cricket will be happy about, because his impact on the world stage and what he means for world ball cricket in particular, and it's his second century after someone else has scored a century on the opposing team to win a game for Rajasthan. So
yeah,
no, he's definitely back flowing, and this confidence is only going to do him the world of good heading into the World Cup.
No, definitely. I think that the way that we spoke last week about the benefits that India are going to have with the majority of their players coming from the IPL straight into the tournament, if Joss Butler keeps going the way he's going, he's going to go into that World Cup thinking, you know, batting against a beach ball. And him being captain and him being the leader he is in that side, the impact it'll have on that 11 and the squad will be absolutely massive. Massive.
Yeah. So I take it that you're opening up your team with Josh Butler as your number one pick then?
Yes, absolutely. So
I think we can move on from that then, because I think that's probably one of the easier selections of this team.
Yeah, it is, and you know the way he plays 360 as well. He's always gonna be just around the corner from getting a score, in my opinion. You know, it happens in playing T20 cricket. The risk and the reward aspect to it is going to be times when you go through a bit of a dry spell, but I do think he's just around the corner from a big score. Yep. He's going to open the batting, in my opinion, with Phil Salt. I think that he's. The way he's playing at the minute, and again, this experience side of things from his, you know, his time in the IPL will be a big benefit to England. I was looking at potentially, I want Bairstow in the 11, but I don't know whether to open the batting with him or not.
I've actually gone with Phil Salt as my second opener as well.
Yeah.
For the same reason, I think that obviously Johnny coming back into cricket hasn't really found his stride.
No.
And I think that it allows him sort of that freedom to come in the middle and play.
Yeah.
Especially with Joss taking off in form and Phil Salt having had a good year so far. That's probably going to allow him to come in with more of a set foundation more often than not, as opposed to coming in and going how he probably normally goes, but is struggling at the moment and putting pressure on himself and on the team to get off to a good start.
Yeah, I think that's the way I see it as well, to be honest with you. And the only thing is that, again, with England, I don't know how many games England will play before the first game against Scotland, June. I think it's June 4th, if I remember off the top of my head. But I do, you know, from an English perspective, I want to see Bairstow spending some time at the crease and you know, and hopefully picking up some form, because as we see, he's a dangerous cricketer at the end of the day. So we want that, and we want from my opinion, it's the experience side of things as well. You know, it's not going to phase him playing in World Cup tournaments, especially in the big games. And if we get into the knockouts, it's not going to phase him in the slightest, which is be a big thing.
Yeah.
Number three, I've gone with Will Jacks.
It's interesting that, because I've also gone with Will Jacks at number three.
Right, okay.
Offers you, obviously, a bit of off-spin
in
terms of an option with the ball.
Yeah.
And I think that his batting is highly underrated, even though I think people are starting to become aware of, I guess, how good he really is. I think he hits the ball in quite a wide range of areas and adds sort of that additional power to that top three. Sort of similar to what you get from maybe an Australian top three in terms of like brute power and force. So I'm going to go with Will Jacks at number three as well.
Yeah, definitely. And my thought process as well was similar, and the bowling side of things as well that we'll get will be a big thing. Although when I was going through it, I don't think I'm short of bowlers, to be honest with you. But again, I don't think that's a bad thing going into the T20 side of things. Number four, I have gone with Harry Brook. And I think that the way he started the county championship last week with a century was a big thing. And it was great to see him playing cricket again. And I think that he will give England that that middle order firepower nice, and also could play a bit of an anchoring role if necessary as well.
Interesting. I've gone for Johnny Bairstow at number four. That experience level in the middle order, obviously having lost Ben Stokes because of his withdrawal from the tournament to sort of prepare his body for longer form cricket. I think this is a perfect situation for him after a power-packed top three to come in and sort of allow himself to go to run a ball or just over a runner ball for a bit, take a long and then explode at the end. So I've gone with Bairstow there.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. And, you know, well, my fifth pick is Bairstow. And that, so I would happily change them both around. It doesn't really bother me in that side of things. Totally agree with what you said there in terms of how we'd go about it and who needed to get into some rhythm early doors, and so be it. So, yeah, I'm having Bairstow at five.
I'm actually having Harry Brook at six. And I think that I'll put him at six because I think he's more versatile than Bairstow in terms of his range of scoring options. Bairstow is more of a power guy.
So you've got a five. Do you mean at five?
Harry Brook at five.
Yeah.
Because I think of his power techniques and his versatility, I think that he is more likely to score, especially at the back end, coming in against spinners, that sort of stuff, playing in the Caribbean. I think that he has, and he will be more equipped in terms of skill-wise to handle that situation. And we saw it last year when England came to the Caribbean for that T20 series as well.
Yeah.
So just based off of that and knowing who I have at number six is where I'm slotting Harry Brook in at number five.
Right, okay. Well, my six and seven, again, is similar in terms of who it could be. I'm going to pick Liam... it's six and seven for me are Livingston and Moeen Ali.
Interesting.
That's who I've gone with there. And the reason why, for me, I think Livingston... Someone within this team now, whether it be Livingston, whether it be... It might be Moeen Ali, it might be Will Jacks, it might be Harry Brook, whoever. Someone's got to take over that role of Ben Stokes. And I don't mean role as in the all-rounder role per se, but the role of that leader, the role of the person who's going to stand up when it's not going England's way. They might be 50 for four, they might be 30 for three, whatever that may be. It's giving the Ben Stokes not being around there will give somebody that opportunity to be that leader. And I think potentially now Liam Livingston's played in these franchise tournaments for two or three years now. He's picked up experience. He's destructive when he wants, when he gets it right. But again, whether he's about six or whether he's about seven, I'm not too sure, to be honest with you, from a tactical perspective. And it's the same with Moeen Ali. I think
my six and seven, and I think we're basically going to have roughly the same team by the sounds of it, but it's just probably the order that we have.
Order-wise, yeah.
Yeah, but my six and seven, so I've gone for Sam Curran at number six.
Right, okay.
And I think that when you look at what's happening with him across T20 leagues now, he's actually batting pretty high for most teams, and he's doing a good job. And I think I want him to slot into that, as you said, that area that Ben Stokes sorts of lives and operates in, that 5-6 area.
Yeah.
And I think that for him being a left-hander as well, I wanted a left-hander in my top six to give me that bit of a change up in not just having right-handers where teams can target me with left arm spinners, leg spinners, all that sort of stuff, and someone that's versatile. And I've gone with Livingston as my number seven, my finisher, my power hitter.
Right, okay.
At the back end, and obviously he bowls bit of everything as well, so another bowling option. So I've sort of got three bowling options covered in a sense there as well.
Yeah. I can't really argue with that. And I was, when I was talking before about this taking over of the Ben Stokes side of things, he's somebody who I can see having that impact. You know, he was superb in the last World Cup. Was he playing with the tournament?
Yep, he was MVP.
Yeah, he was. So, you know, he's coming into this having off the back of that. So, and obviously the back of him impacting, playing well in, he's batting four, I think.
Yeah.
as well. So, you know, yeah, I'm with you on that. And he is my eight. So he's my number eight. So who do you have at eight?
So my eight is actually Mo.
Right,
I've gone
okay.
with Mo at eight. Obviously, experienced campaigner.
Yeah.
Hasn't really been playing that much cricket. I think he's got probably the cleanest bat swing from since Yuvraj Singh. obviously, valuable off spinner as well.
Yeah.
Experienced. And in these Caribbean conditions, I don't think a shortage of spin bowling options should be something that you die for. And with him, Livingston, and there was
Will Jacks.
I've got three options covered thus far that can take me through probably at least 10 overs, as well as Sam Curran.
Yeah.
And I haven't even gotten into the rest, the three other bowlers that I'm going to get into as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, but basically, I was having the same eight so far. That was exactly my thoughts. Is I think we've got the getting this, my order right would be the thing in terms of getting the that side of things. But I think I've got a nice mix of, especially from five, I think I'll left and right handers balance as well.
Yeah.
Which will obviously be play a nice part when picking the order. My number, see a bowling thing, this is where I've got one shoe in for a bowler side of things, and that's Adil Rashid. So he's in that remaining 9, 10, and 11 spots.
So I'll go my 9, 10, 11 first, and then I'll let you back.
Okay.
So Adil Rashid, as you said, 100% sure, and he's my number nine. He's my banker. He's the one that comes on in tough situations.
Yeah.
As soon as the power play is finished, he's bowling the first over for me.
Yeah.
And then depending on how the rest of the innings goes, I'll bring him in accordingly because he threatens both edges with leg spin and goodlies. 10, 11, I've gone for pace, extreme pace, Mark Wood, Jofra Archer.
Well,
I think that in the Caribbean, both of them provide an X factor, taking the pitches out of play and being able to bring their 90-plus mile-an-hour abilities into play and just nail Yorkers, probably get some reverse swing, quick shot stuff, and make it uncomfortable for batters, especially when they're coming off of facing spinners that, you know, going to probably be ragging it as the tournament goes on.
So that's my
sort of 11.
Yeah, well, that's it. We've actually picked the same 11. Obviously, there's question marks over Jofra Archer's fitness levels. You know, and hopefully, you know, everything's all systems go, because I can't wait to see him back.
To be fair, what I've heard from the Barbados boys, because obviously he's back out in Barbados playing club cricket and practicing and stuff, and he practices with the franchise as well. And what I've heard is nothing short of he's bowling absolute rockets.
Right.
And just running in and hitting people in the head for fun.
right.
So I think that we can sort of put that to bed, because we even saw that video in pre-season.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
With Sussex, where he had to play against Sussex because he was bowling that quickly.
Mm.
So I think Jofra's well and truly back, but not only back, like rearing to go as well. And the ECB had said that, Rob Key had said that he's getting ready for that Pakistan T20 series that's coming up.
Yeah,
I think it's next month, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's in May. Yeah,
so yeah, that'll be a good, I guess, sight and seeing him come back into competitive cricket, and then I'm pretty sure he'll stick around and do some stuff with Sussex in the lead up to the World Cup. But he, from all reports, he's absolutely flying at the moment.
Well, that's really positive to hear, to get some inside knowledge that he's firing, which is only a benefit for England. And the World Cup itself, because people want, you want to see the best players in the World Cup. It's going to be a great opportunity for him. But a couple of special mentions really on my side. I'd be looking to take Chris Jordan, to be honest with you, as well.
Really?
Yeah, I would, because I like the experience and I like him as a death bowler side. I think he's fantastic at the death, and he gives me a real dimension with from a fielding side of things. I think he's absolutely superb. And I think his experience of playing in the Caribbean as well will be quite important. So I would like to take him, whether he does feature, because I know there's the likes of, Reece Topley will probably go on the plane.
Yep.
You know,
he's my reserve seamer.
Yeah. You know, from that left arm option. Sorry. He would definitely be someone who I'd look to go as well. But I think that's a really, really, really strong side. And it was only when after last week we discussed it, I sort of went into it and, started looking into it more. I'm quietly confident with England.
Yeah, it's just a matter of if everyone's sort of clicking. Once England are firing and once this 11 is firing, then it's going to be a very tough task. It's going to be a tall order. Obviously, you've got the likes of Australia who are going to be in and around the pot. You've got India as well and New Zealand who play great tournament cricket. And I think that if the West Indies can get a bowling combination together, they'll be in and around it as well, because they've got an extremely experienced and very powerful batting order at this point in time. Yeah. So I think those will be the team sort of vying for it. You'll have people maybe like in Afghanistan that pose a threat, as they're a good team as well. Maybe a Pakistan, depends. I'm not sure what their batting is like in terms of the consistency, but those are the teams that I think that can pose an outside threat to the main contenders for this competition.
Yeah, I think as we go through it over the weeks and break teams down, I think it'd be one of them where each team we discuss that week will probably feel a bit more confident about it, because naturally sort of break it down and stuff. And I do think that the key thing that you mentioned there about New Zealand, the whatever 15 that they go with, they just have a knack of tournament cricket. They just seem to get it right. And ultimately that you could pick a solid 15, but if you don't click at the right time, it's over, you're back on the plane. It's that quick.
100%.
Do you see any other interesting picks for England? Do you see anyone else going in the 15?
Well, I've sort of got Reece Topley and Rehan Ahmed.
Yeah, the Rehan Ahmed. Yeah.
Reserves. In terms of batters, I'm not quite sure. I'd be interested to hear your take on reserve batting options, because I've got two reserve batting spots that I'd like to fill.
I think that the two that I was looking at was potentially obviously Joe Root's now made himself available. He's expressed his interest of playing a T20 cricket again. And then the other two that have been discussed with Ben Duckett and David Malan. Now, obviously, David Malan has had a fantastic T20 career so far, but hasn't featured since. I think he was actually dropped in as part of the 100 for the Trent Rockets. I think he played for England the back end against New Zealand, but he didn't go on the tour of the Caribbean. So I don't know how he's in the frame. Ben Duckett, again, is someone who's done really well from the red ball side of things, but has got that ability to play T20 cricket, as has Zach Crawley really as well. He's had a stints in the BBL and done quite well at times. So I think that from a batting perspective, it would be I don't think David Malan, I think that probably that ship has probably set sail with for him. So I think the other batting situation would be whether they go with Root. Well, one of the red ball players, really, which would be Root, Duckett or Crawley.
I think, well, for Root, it's interesting because the last time he played in the T20 World Cup, he was MVP of the tournament.
Yeah.
That's when West Indies won the tournament. Carlos Brother hit those 6 sixes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he hasn't played again since. And I don't think that he's done anything wrong, because he offers you some off-spin as well.
Yes.
And he bats at a stroke rate of sort of 130, 140, which is, perfectly fine for the role that he'd be asked to do.
Yeah.
But I think if they've sort of set sail on David Malan, who's obviously a more recent contemporary of what the England team are trying to do,
then
I don't see them going back for Root, who was sort of in the Owen Morgan era of things.
Yeah.
So I think that's sort of leaving, I guess, a Ben Duckett in more of a driver's seat position than most others. But I think any other two batters, they'll find it two batters and take them on tour. I don't know who they'll be, but I think regardless of that, they have a very strong squad, and especially a starting 11 in terms of options. So they should be pretty fine in terms of at least definitely getting out of their group and posing a threat in terms of lifting the trophy, because they have lifted the trophy in the Caribbean before.
Yeah, no, it's true. No, it's very, very true. So yeah, I think that's a good analysis of England ahead of that tournament, and I think that the series against Pakistan next month will give a decent indication of who they're going to go with and how it works. Obviously, the conditions are going to be completely different, but I think from a batting lineup side of things as well, I think it'll be definitely interesting to see the order. I think I'm, you know, taking your expertise ahead of definitely over mine anyway, in terms of the batting lineup side of things. I can see them going for something similar, and then hopefully then get you know, some overs for Jofra in an England shirt, which would be great to see as well.
Yeah. 100%. Obviously, they'll ease him back into things. So I think you'll see quite a few seam bowling options where they try to nail down that sort of spear bowling option, whether it be Reece Topley or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
I think Topley's pretty much nailed on at this point in time, unless he gets injured or does, you know, horrendously bad and then brings others into contention.
Yeah.
And then I think it's just going to be about spear batters getting an opportunity and seeing who they want to take on tour.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think Reece Topley, as I mentioned, Chris Jordan before, but I think he's definitely overtaken Chris Jordan in the way of finishing the England innings off, you know, with that left arm stuff. So I think that he will, you know, that would be one to go. So, yeah, excellent review of England's World Cup T20 hopes. And hopefully England are as destructive as me and you have just made out. And a trophy returns. But yeah, thank you very much indeed. What are we thinking for next week?
I think let's have a dive into Australia.
Right, okay.
If you go England, you have to go Australia, isn't it?
Yeah, let's go Australia next. And well, one person who would definitely be in that side is Travis Head after his destructive 100 a couple of days ago.
Good luck bowling to him.
No, I know. I don't think anyone's form has ever been as red hot as he maintained over such a period of time.
The thing is, he knows when to score runs in big situations as well. Like, he's got that sort of man of the moment about him as well, which is
definitely
what you want as a team anyway. So it's great for Australian cricket.
Yeah, definitely. No, I look forward to that one next week. That'd be good.
Perfect. See you next week.
All the best tomorrow.
Cheers, Jordan.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us on the Power Play podcast, hosted by Kyron Powell and Jordan Shannon. We hope you enjoyed this immersive dive into the world of cricket and business, exploring the unique experiences and perspectives of players past and present, alongside those invaluable insights into intriguing business themes that transcend beyond the boundaries of sporting heroics. Be sure to set your reminders on your Alexa or Google Home device. Or we won't tell anyone if you still use those paper calendar things from a bygone era. Join us next time for more inspiring dialogue with scintillating minds on the Power Play podcast.